Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulaski, and everything sucks. What sucks tonight is I've been having to, explain to my daughter why she can't start her own Patreon. This is it. This is what being a dad is now. Is you have to explain to your 7.5-year-old why she's not allowed to start her own Patreon. And it takes 20 minutes to do that, way past her bedtime. And so you start late doing your podcast about SmackDown, which sucked, and you miss
the Hikaru Shida match.
You miss that match, so you don't, for the second week in a row, you don't get to do, man, I don't know. On Wednesday, I saw Dax hit a pile driver. Dax Harwood hit a pile driver on Malakai Black on the apron. And Malakai Black is fine. He ended up winning the match. His tag team won the match. He didn't go to a hospital. It was a pile driver on the apron. It was a better looking pile driver than the one Kevin Owens had on Randy Orton. Every fucking week I see 12 Canadian destroyers. I see them often in WWE programming. A Canadian destroyer is like a super pile driver. I am so fucking sick of the, oh my God, can you believe Kevin Owens hit a pile driver on Randy Orton? Is nothing sacred? I'm so fucking sick of it. It's like if there was ever a prayer of me, noted Cody Rhodes hater, giving a shit about the Cody Rhodes program with Kevin Owens, well, you can fucking forget about it now because it's all about the fucking pile driver. It's fucking dumb as fuck. Yes, Tim McFall, you bring up a good point that I had not considered. That it was a pile driver. It was a pile driver, and as such, it being a pile driver, it was also a pile driver, and therefore banned. I watched Adam Cole when he was in NXT hit the Panama Sunrise in every fucking match he wrestled. Is that not technically also a pile driver? Why is that not banned? Why is that not banned? That's fucking dumb. Cody Rhodes comes out and is like, Kevin Owens, I know you're back there and I would like to talk to you right now. So please come out here right now. And then he doesn't. And he goes, Kevin Owens, get out here right this minute. He's like the dad of a petulant teenager. He asked please to start with. I asked nicely first the first time, but you don't want to see how mad I can get, young man. You park your keister, meester. We're going to have a talk, you and me. Because this ballyhoo, we got to put a stop to this. We're going to nip it in the bud. This fucking dumb shit. Kevin Owens can't come out, but Nick Aldis can. He says, I can't. After the god-awful, horrible thing that he did, it's a wonder he's not rotting in a jail cell somewhere, awaiting trial for attempted murder. But as such, this matter will be dealt with internally. And no, I can't bring him out here. I would love to do that, but I can't. My hands are tied. And Cody Rhodes is like, Nick, I understand. But you must understand my point of view. I rode in an ambulance with Randy Orton last week. And I called Randy's wife and I told him what had happened. She asked why, and I had to say, it's because Kevin Owens doesn't like me. Which is why he did a transitional move to your husband. And it was done so poorly that they had to edit the footage of it so it doesn't show the moment of impact. Think of how I feel, Nick Aldis. And then Nick Aldis, I guess, says, yeah, sure, because then we get a promo, a good promo for a fucking change on this goddamn show. Kevin Owens from his fucking car in broad daylight. So I don't know how that worked. If that's a problem, I have a problem with this one. From his car in broad daylight, he was told that Nick Aldis called him and told him he has to show up in Salt Lake City for SmackDown next week because the Golden Boys wants it. Oh, Cody Rhodes, anything Cody wants, Cody gets. And this was a good promo because it made fun of Cody Rhodes and what a fucking puss he is. I fucking hate that character. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. If Nick Aldis and Cody Rhodes had a segment on a live episode of SmackDown where Nick says, I can't bring Kevin Owens to TV. And Cody Rhodes says, please do it for me. And at night, how the hell is Kevin Owens cutting a promo responding to that segment in broad daylight? I ask you. I ask you. Very true. Bad, wrong. Liv and Raquel assaulted Rhea in the parking lot of a show they don't even work at. They had to follow her to NXT and hit her in the face with a baseball bat and cause an orbital fracture, according to kayfabe. They're not punished at all. Randy Orton comes to the ring, asks Kevin Owens to come to the ring. He does. They have a fight, and during which he hits a transitional move on a professional wrestler and breaks his neck in 12 places. I don't know what the fuck happened. Mark Briscoe is having a far too long match with Arya Daivari. That's what's happening right now on Rampage. The U.S. title tournament has begun. It is only women. Froggy Bow from Mark Briscoe. That's a one. That's a two. That's a three. He pins Arya Daivari. Everyone is so surprised that Mark Briscoe beat Arya Daivari. They're just so damn surprised. The U.S. title tournament for the women involves no women from Raw. So the Raw better be getting their own Intercontinental women's title. Because if none of the women on Raw are eligible, then you have to keep the women's tag titles on Raw. Because it's not fair at all if the women on SmackDown get a mid-card title and, or as Michael Cole called it, a non-world title. Which is just a weird thing. I understand we don't want to use the phrase mid-card title, but I don't know what else you call it, but a non-worlds title just feels very, very clunky, so don't do that. Anyway, the tournament is as such. Four triple threat matches. The winners of those triple threat matches go into the actual tournament, okay? So then it's like, it comes down to the final four. And those two fight each other. And then the finals of the tournament are at the Saturday night's main event, which is on December 14th, broadcast live on NBC from Nassau Coliseum in Long Island. So that's the finals of the tournament. So tonight, there was only one qualifying triple threat. A lot of them seem to have women who are in it just to take the pin. For example, tonight, B-Fab. Although she did look very good, far better than you would expect, considering how little matches she has had on, how few matches she's had on TV. But she has been training an awful lot and getting better and better. She looked very good for someone with so little experience. It was her versus Candice LeRae versus Bayley. Bayley got the pinfall on B-Fab. It was a perfectly fine little triple threat. Candice got to look good. Bayley got the win. B-Fab got to show out in one of her first matches in a very long time. And in the other semifinal on, and in the other quarterfinal match on that part of the bracket, we have a triple threat between Bianca Belair, the obvious winner, Chelsea Green, the likely winner, and Blair Davenport, the one who's getting pinned. A lot of these triple threat matches have the one who's getting pinned in it. And this one that's going to happen, I don't know, next week or the week after, Blair Davenport is almost certainly getting pinned. There's a very good chance that Bianca doesn't make it past this match because it's a triple threat and interference is legal. So you don't even have to hide it from the ref. It could be any of the women on the other War Games team that could come in and ruin it for Bianca. So Chelsea Green gets to pin Blair Davenport, and then you get Bayley versus Chelsea Green in that half of the bracket. On the other half of the bracket, there's one of the triple threat matches has Electra Lopez in it. She's definitely getting pinned. I believe that's the one that has Naomi in it as well. Naomi and Tiffany Stratton. So it's possible Tiffany wins it, but I do think it's likely that Naomi actually takes that one. Naomi comes out of that one probably by pinning Electra Lopez. The one on top features Jade Cargill, Piper Niven, and Mee Chin. Now, Mee Chin backed up B-Fab in a little bit of a tete-a-tete backstage with Piper Niven and Chelsea Green. So it looks like Mee Chin might end up getting the pin on that one, pinning Piper Niven, mostly because also Jade Cargill could easily lose that based on all the interference that's going to come from Nia, from Tiffany, from Candice, from Liv, from Raquel. We already saw a bunch of that bullshit tonight in the Nia and Naomi match. There was a bunch of that shit that happened then, so there's no reason to think that we're not going to get a bunch of that fucking bullshit when it comes to those matches. The best possible thing they could do, to me, is figure out a way to do Bianca versus Jade as the finals of the U.S. Women's title match. I don't think they're going to do that. I think it's actually going to come down to Bayley versus Naomi again. And I hope Naomi wins because Bayley beat her the last time. I think Naomi actually winning it would be great. It'd be so good for Naomi. It'd be so great for the U.S. women's title. Like, that's what should happen in the tournament. I think that's a really good thing to do there, because Bayley and Naomi had a fight to see who was going to face Nia at some pay-per-view. And Bayley beat Naomi, so Naomi should beat Bayley there. I think that would be really good. I honestly would like that. There you go. See, MD Macaroni says, I don't think Naomi's ever beaten Bayley. I wouldn't say it's never happened. Maybe there was something that happened back in 2017 that I forgot about. But it's possible that she hasn't. And if so, this would be a really cool way for her to get her first victory. I don't think we're lucky enough for that to be the case. I think even though I love Chelsea Green, I think it's very possible they just turn the women's workhorse title that we want it to be into the women's never gets defended title and put it on Chelsea Green. I think that's very possible because, you know, they suck at this. So. Tom LaValle says Commanders have a bit of a come up lately. Tim says would be cool if he got an occasional win though. Tom, 2 weeks ago he beat Leo Rush, pinned Leo Rush clean in the middle of the ring. So he's gotten a victory fairly recently, more recently than some people. Yeah, Bad Wrong says that Naomi versus Nia tonight made me think Naomi would win the U.S. title, to be honest. It's true. They are setting her up as that. But a lot of times they set people up to make you believe in them just to have them fail because they're mean. That's just a thing that happens occasionally. Hey, backstage, Jimmy and Jay and Sammy are here to try and figure out. I mean, I don't know. We got to find a fifth guy. Who could it possibly be? I mean, we already asked Seth Rollins, and he said no, and he's definitely not going to go back on his word. So that's silly. I don't know what we should do. Oh, gosh. Sammy's like, I got one more person I can ask, and he doesn't talk to Cody Rhodes, which is fucking stupid, because we already saw Cody Rhodes help out Roman Reigns once before. Why wouldn't he do it again? He ask him. At least have him say, any other time I would, man, but I got my mind set on Kevin Owens. You know what that's like. I have to deal with Kevin Owens before anything else happens. If I'm in that match and I'm on your team, I'm a liability because Kevin Owens could find a way to cost the team the match just to get even with me for some imagined slight. At least let them have that segment. But they don't. They don't. We see with no dialogue, we say Sami Zayn asking LA Knight if LA Knight will be their partner. And I'm like, why? Why would the fuck would LA Knight be their partner? And that's basically what he says when he comes out for his open challenge. He says, why the fuck would I be their partner? I don't want to get involved with the bloodline on either side. That's something, that's some shit I don't need. Plus, honestly, I'd rather all of the bloodline just implode and go away entirely. We are not going to, what? We're not going to be Logan Paul. Because Logan Paul defends the title twice in a year. So I'm going to do an open challenge. And out comes Legado del Fantasma. And there's a little bit of a back and forth with Santos and LA Knight. Who you would be forgiven for thinking that is the obvious new program for LA Knight. Coming off of this particular segment. Humberto Carrillo is, or just Berto, I guess, is mad-dogging LA Knight, staring him down. LA Knight doesn't like it, so he says, I'll fight this guy. The match is pretty good. Humberto is much better than they allow him to be. If you saw his time during the 205 Live days, you know he's a really good worker. And can work single stuff. But he ends up losing to a BFT, as you would assume. But you would also assume then, after the match, you would see Santos come in and try and attack LA Knight from behind, and that's the beginning of a Santos versus LA Knight program. But instead, it's Shinsuke Nakamura back from the dead. He hasn't been on SmackDown since he was drafted there in May. It is fucking November. 6 months almost, half a year of Shinsuke Nakamura's career has been him just not fucking doing anything. And now he comes back. He's got this new face paint that looks really cool. Some kind of kabuki face paint thing. I love it. He's got this very dramatic robe thing he's wearing, a kimono. Just takes off his head with a knee and then stands over him, does a few stumps. Shinsuke Nakamura versus LA Knight, I'm all for it. Could be really great. Problem is, we're just going to get a lot of Shinsuke Nakamura talking a big game, and then he's not going to back it up in the ring. That's kind of what they've turned him into. But I'm glad they're using him. You don't want him to, like, ride out the rest of his career until he's, like, in his 50s. But, yeah. Tom LaValle says, there are very few men I want to see join AEW more than Kevin Steen. Probably no one else more. I am right there with you. That is the guy. Why do we have MVP watching Commander? MVP watching Commander doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I just don't feel like that's a guy he would go after. It doesn't feel like he's got the killer edge that they would want. Maybe it's one of those deals where they're like, he's going to offer him the card and he's going to say no. Gracias. No gracias. Thanks, but no thanks. And then they'll have Shelton Benjamin murder him next week on Rampage. That feels like a thing they might do, right? Maybe. No, not that he ain't black. Not that he ain't black, but, you know. Commander versus Shelton tomorrow. So they're not waiting until Rampage next week. They're just going to do it tomorrow on Collision. Fantastic. Fantastic. I don't think he should be scouting Commander. I don't feel like the high-flying masked luchador doesn't feel like, especially the dude is like, oh, I could win the match now, but I'm going to walk the ropes for a little bit before I end up doing a backflip and catching some knees to the gut. That doesn't feel like him. You know what I mean? Commander versus Shelton tomorrow should be really great. Really, really great. So Roman finally shows up. Commander wins with his rope walk shooting star press. So we get Roman Reigns showing up, Sammy being like, we're screwed. I asked everybody on Raw, everybody on SmackDown, nobody wants to work with us. There's nobody who hasn't been fucked over by the bloodline at some point in the last 4 years. So I'm sorry, nobody wants to work with us. And then you hear the new bloodline music hit. They walk out to the ring. And so now it only makes sense for the old bloodline to walk down to the ring and challenge them to a fight. The fight starts. It's going pretty well for the original bloodline, honestly, except for the fact that Bronson Reed shows up. And I'm going to talk about that in a second after I listen to Taya Valkyrie talk to Anna Jay. So Taya Valkyrie is trying to get Anna Jay to pay them protection money and join the Vendetta, but Anna Jay is fully babyface now and will not. So listen, Anna Jay being angry at Anna Jay being angry at the Vendetta is something I don't hate. Don't hate it. Don't hate it. So is this a Roosh match? Is this Roosh in action? If so, the match will be 12 seconds long. No, it's the Beast Motos and Roosh together. All right. Cool. Bronson Reed shows up to help out the new bloodline. He has a stare down moment with Jacob Fatu, and all I care about is the future match between those guys. Apparently, Bronson Reed is actually of Samoan descent. And I guess that makes it okay. But I do think it is very funny. I do think it is very funny. They're like, we need a fifth guy. Are there any more Samoans in the locker room? No. What about Bronson Reed? He's got some tribal tattoos. That dude looks like he could be Samoan. Hey, Bronson, you Samoan? On my mother's side, yeah. Great, you're in. I mean, what? You're in the bloodline. Okay. I have no idea how the kayfabe conversation could possibly go. But Bronson Reed, Australia is close enough to Samoa, right? I mean, they're both in the same... They're both in the Southern Hemisphere. That's close enough. That's close enough. Sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I pitched the idea of Bronson Reed joining the bloodline back when, you know, the original bloodline was the only bloodline. I'm pretty sure I pitched it based on the fact that WWE, at the time being run by Vince, wouldn't give a shit that he was actually Australian and just start saying that he was Samoan. Because he's big, right? And he's got the tattoos and the hair. So, maybe we'll call him Bronson Reedoa. That's it. That's his name now. His name is Bronson Reedoa. Just put Oa at the end. We're good. Bronson Reedoa. But yeah. You're right. I'm fairly sure Trips thinks all Samoans are related. Tim McFaul. That's true. I like that. Big Fatu. There you go. Big Bronson Fatu. That's his name now. He's Big Oa. Big Oa is good. Big Oa. Bronson Big Oa. Big Bronson Big Oa. That's a thing that's possible. We could do that, right? Oh, there we go. Bronson plus Oos equals Bruce. There you go. Bruce. Big Bruce and Reed. Big, no. I'm not really sure. Big Tonga and Tala Tonga. Also very good, MD Macaroni. Thank you very much. I like that a lot. I mean, it's fine. The fact that this would be a lot better if it wasn't going to lead to Seth Rollins deciding that his hatred for Bronson Reed trumps his oath to never team with Roman Reigns ever again. Like, if you asked him, at the end of your career, who do you think your bigger rival will be when you look back on it during your Hall of Fame induction? Will people remember more the 3-month feud you had with Bronson Reed or the career-long rivalry that you had with Roman Reigns? I'm pretty sure he would choose the latter. I'm pretty sure he would choose the career-long rivalry with Roman Reigns. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to be like, I hate Bronson Reed so much that I'm going to disregard how much I have always hated Roman Reigns, and I'll bury the hatchet with him to have a match inside a cage with two rings underneath it. I mean, I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it. I don't buy it. Yes, Roosh did shoot murder a guy. Mess with the bull, you get the Hearns. Oh, look, it's MVP. Yeah. MVP is going to... Some of them need to be hurt. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's Commander. Yeah. They got to beat him down to his knees to, like, reteach him how to be a man or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do love Swerve's arrogance. It's true. We do. Yes. Swerve thinks that one man can beat three, and it's not true. Gonna need some backup there, Swerve. Who are you gonna bring? My goddamn kingdom. If I had a kingdom, I would sell the kingdom. And I would give it over, all the money, over to the person that could make it happen. So that when Swerve needs backup, the music we hear is, "Who am I?
I'm Keith
Lee.
That would be the best thing. Best thing. Shelton Benjamin versus Commander tomorrow night. Very good. Very good. Very good. Hey, the Morty Shitty Machine Guns. Oh, by the way, Roman Reigns took a tsunami. I think he might have taken two, but he took a tsunami. And then Jey Uso says to Roman Reigns, "You got to make that call. You got to make the call, Uso. Make the call." And I was like, "Call Dwayne?" I'm pretty sure he's promoting Red One, the terrible Santa movie that everyone's going to forget about in 2 years. He's doing a lot of stuff on the he's doing a media tour, so I don't think he's available. But that's not who he's supposed to make the call to. The person he's supposed to make the call to is the wise man. And he says, he pulls out his phone in the locker room at the end of the night, and he says, "Call the wise man," and the crowd goes nuts, and you hear, "We're sorry, the number you have dialed is no longer in service. This is a recording. The number you have dialed is no longer in service." And it just keeps repeating it, and he drops the phone on the ground. If you were going to ask Paul Heyman to be the fifth man in your War Games team, you were going to lose that match. Shouldn't you be calling a wrestler who can help you? You calling? What is Paul Heyman going to do? Is Paul Heyman going to get Brock Lesnar to come help you? Is that what you think is going to happen? I don't think they have a good relationship anymore. Is he going to get CM Punk to come help you? CM Punk in War Games just feels like a death wish for CM Punk. I don't think that's a good thing that's going to help. Why are you calling Paul Heyman when you should be calling wrestlers? Anyway, that's what happens at the end of the night. So, Motor City Machine Guns versus Street Profits ends in the exact way that I thought it would, with Tommaso Ciampa coming out and pushing Montez Ford off the top rope. Now, the match was very good up until this point, but Tommaso Ciampa is pissed. He doesn't like that he's not the champion. He hates the fact that Street Profits, he feels, jumped in line. They never got a two-on-two rematch with the Bloodline after their titles got taken from them. He wants to be a champion. Now, he also wants to fight the Motor City Machine Guns, but Johnny Gargano doesn't want that to happen. And he's like, we never talked about this, man. What are you doing? And so Tommaso Ciampa then shoves Johnny Gargano. And they're going to break up DIY again just because Trips is out of ideas. And so they're going to break them up again, but he shoves Johnny Gargano and walks out. And then he's muttering to himself, "We didn't talk about that. We didn't talk about us losing the championship. Didn't talk about this. We didn't talk about how we never got a rematch. That's what we didn't talk about." He's leaving. And then we see the Motion Machine Guns try and go give a shake hands to the Street Profits, who then, Angelo Dawkins shoves, I think, Alex Shelley down. So they are also pissed. So we've got two great babyface tag teams on SmackDown who are really hate that they're not a little higher in the pecking order. So let's turn them both heel at the same time. Well, at least one and a half tag teams, because I don't know. I feel like we might just turn the Street Profits heel and then just end up really turning Ciampa on Gargano. Like, that feels like that's going to be a separate thing between the two of them while the Street Profits, as heels, become the number one rivals for the Motor City Machine Guns on SmackDown. So, I mean, it's fine, right? It's fine. Then we got Nia Jax versus Naomi. Nia Jax versus Naomi. is very good. It's very good. Tiffany Stratton comes out, tries to help Nia Jax. Then backstage, we see Bianca and Jade, who were talking smack to Bayley, by the way. Bayley came up to Naomi backstage and says, "Hey, saw what you were doing on Raw. Remember, we can't trust Io. We know what she does to people." And Bianca's like, "I'm sorry, who can we not trust? All right, I'm gonna let that slide." And then, so we're definitely getting some more attention there. But backstage, Bianca and Jade get jumped by Liv and Raquel. So they're not able to help Naomi when everybody gets involved out there with Candace is out there, Tiffany's out there, and eventually they do what they do, and they cost Naomi the match, and Nia Jax hits her with the Annihilator and pins Naomi. But Naomi looked really, really good. Looked really, really good. Just not enough to beat Nia Jax, especially with all the chicanery and shenanigans. So two title matches to finish out the show. The tag team title match was ruined by interference, literally causing a disqualification. And the title match, the women's title match at the end, was also ruined by interference, even though it wasn't a disqualification. It was just the ref being dumb and not seeing all of the shit that was going on outside the ring. So we shenaned once in the tag title match, and then we shenaned again in the women's title match. And remember, I am predicting lots and lots and lots of shenanigans in the U.S. women's title tournament. So if you shenan once, you will shenan hundreds of additional times. They should change the word shenanigan to shenan 100 different ways, because that is what we're doing. There was a dark match tonight between Apollo Crews and Giovanni Vinci. Apparently, their weird little feud continues in dark matches before SmackDown, but never on television. I don't know what the hell we're doing with any of that. Braun Strowman, who I thought tore his groin, is apparently fine now and wrestled Carlito in a dark match tonight. So, fine, I guess. Right now, it's Ricochet versus Dante Martin. I've already talked about all of the SmackDown crap. So I guess I'm just going to sit here with you and watch the last 8 minutes of Dante Martin versus Ricochet and marvel at the amazing athletic ability with all of you. Just dueling crazy moonsaults to the outside, jumping knee by Dante Martin. Now we get Dante back into the ring. Ricochet jumping over him, leapfrogging from the outside with a springboard. Into the corner. Up and over. Gamangiri. Big jumping springboard clothesline by Ricochet. Brings the arm back inside to get it out from underneath the ropes. That was very smart, but only a two count by Ricochet. Matthew Hook says, "Alex, what would you do with Top Flight if it was me?" They would have been champs by now, so it wouldn't have mattered. Like, they would have been champs by now. Even with all the injury time, they would have been champs by now. They probably would have been champs sometime in 2022. So it's really hard for me to talk about. I don't want to break them up. I think the Martin brothers are really great together. I don't think they work as heels, because it's really hard for heels to be that fantastic to watch. So
I don't want to turn them heel. I don't want to break them up. So I want them to like refocus. If it were me, I would want Top Flight to be the next champs. But that's not going to happen because they lost to the Outrunners, which don't even get me started on those guys. God, I can't stand anything about their act. None of it rings as clever to me. It is all lowest common denominator bullshit. And in the ring, they are actively bad. They are intentionally doing awful moves from 1984. Atomic drops, scoop slams. That's it. Shitty worked punches. They're on purpose. They are being bad at wrestling in this fucking company. I can't stand watching them. It makes me so angry that they are being pushed the way they are. They should have like a Curtis Hawkins gimmick where they're like a 0-196 before they finally pick up a victory. So yeah, them beating Top Flight has me still angry at this point. So Top Flight can't even get a victory over the Outjobbers. How the hell are we supposed to believe they have a shot at being the tag team champions? So I guess, yeah, break them up. I don't know. Turn them heel because something has to change. I don't know. I don't know, man. I want Leo to actually join the Hurt Business. I want Leo to be their Cedric Alexander. I want him to be the Cedric Alexander for them. Because also, he could... I mean, listen, I love Cedric. But, like, Leo Rush is out of this world, the stuff that Leo can do. I want Leo to break away from all of this and go... And listen, if you can get Action Andretti back to what it is, just call the whole trio... Top Flight. They can be in the trios division. They can be the trios champions in ROH. Make ROH feel important. Make it AEW's NXT. Like, have people have extended runs there. Once they've done everything, bring them up. There's no reason you can't make Top Flight. There's no reason Top Flight isn't the ROH tag champs right now. Over Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara. There's no reason they're not the trios champs right now over Dustin Rhodes and the fucking Von Erich boys. There's no reason none of that's happening. All right, Dante runs in. Big kick to Ricochet. I think I'm running behind here. All right, throw in elbows. Okay. Jump it up. Over on top. Springboard. Oh! With big cartwheel. That was crazy. That cartwheel was nuts. I haven't seen that in a while. He lost a lot of his footing there, but that was friggin' awesome. Make ROH like 2019 NXT. That's, you have the opportunity to make it something really special. Keep the rosters separate. Bring people over there. Let them have great extended runs. Make it the no bullshit alternative to AEW, because now AEW is full of fucking bullshit. There you go. Tom Lavalley says, give me Top Flight and GYV feuding over the ROH tag belts. I would never miss an episode of ROH on True TV if that was your top tag feud. Bring back Samoa Joe. Have him squash Chris Jericho. Squash Chris Jericho. And he is the ROH world champion. And everybody else has to chase Samoa Joe. The legend. Do it.
So, I love Ricochet. I love what he can do. If they do everything right, he's not only a future international champion. He shouldn't just be in the Collision. In the C2. He should win like multiple world titles. That's how good he is. Do it, man. Listen, Matthew Hook says, I figured Joe and Shibata would help Hook with the patriarchy. That's what I would like, only because like tries to do his little springboard thing off the bottom rope and gets caught into a Blue Thunder bomb by Ricochet. That was great. Joe, I don't feel like Joe would let the being driven on a forklift through a wall thing that happened to him via Chris Jericho. I don't think that Joe would let that slide. So I'm just assuming he comes back and has a match with Chris Jericho. What I don't want him to have is a 6-month feud with Chris Jericho. Yeah, Shot Kid says, with Final Battle at Hammerstein, according to Sean, my gut says the TV deal is likely because I don't see them running that venue if there wasn't. A true. Speedball should debut in the C2. That would be amazing. Ricochet won with his reverse hidden blade where he does a running elbow strike to the forehead instead of to the back of the head. Very great. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. An ROH TV deal happened. Have the newly arrived Speedball take the ROH title off Jericho immediately. That's certainly a way to do it. Just basically everything boils down to this. Jericho needs to lose the ROH title immediately to literally anybody that you put in the ring with him. And then the very next minute, Chris Jericho needs to retire from wrestling forever. That is the thing that must happen. That is the thing that must happen. All right. All right, everybody. I'm done. I don't think I'm even going on the Sour Fowler because there's really not much to talk about. Who am I kidding? I probably will. I usually end up saying to myself, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go on the other SmackDown review on the main channel. And then I listen to them talking, and I get so angry about something somebody said that I have to go on there and defend my point of view. So we'll see. If I don't see you guys there, then I'll see you on Monday, because I don't think I'm doing a Collision review tomorrow night. Once the C2 is back, it's going to be nonstop Saturday reviews. So I think that I might just take this week off. Okay, guys? Thanks, everybody. Until then, everything sucks.